Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? All those nights when you've got no lights, the check is in the mail, and your little angel hung the cat up by its tail, and your third fiancé didn't show. Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You wanna be where you can see, our troubles are all the same. You wanna be where everybody knows your name. Roll out of bed, Mr. Coffee's dead, the morning's looking bright. And your shrink ran off to Europe and didn't even write. And your husband wants to be a girl. Be glad there's one place in the world where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You wanna go where people know people are all the same. You wanna go where everybody knows your name.
All right, you crazy bastards. Thank you again for joining in to the Bartender's Jukebox Podcast. I greatly appreciate it. So today's podcast is something I think I've been leading up to for a very long time. And we're going to talk about the service industry itself and the toll it takes on the workers. And I think this, I feel personally like this is something that should have been talked about a very long time ago, but it never does get talked about. When you work in the service and food service industry, it's like one big dysfunctional family. You know, when you're sitting there having your meal, you don't see the person that's in the walk-in having a breakdown because of the stress of the day. And some people would say, oh, well, it's just a job. You know, every job has stress. Yet, you know, until you hear a ticket machine just constantly run over and over and over and over again as tickets come in, you know, trust me, you will not know that feeling. Your day can go from completely calm, it's completely chaotic in a matter of seconds. And it doesn't matter if you're in the back of house or if you're in the front of house. And, you know, like I said, we're just one big dysfunctional family. We put on a smile every single day in the front of the house just to make sure you, the customers, are having an enjoyable meal, an enjoyable time, an enjoyable day. That server could have lost their dog at the beginning of that day because they have bills to pay. They go in and they push through. They push their pain and sorrow away just to make you feel better about your day, to make that extra buck. So when you're rude to servers or bartenders or anybody else, I want you to keep that in the back of your mind. They work their butts off for you, you know, and one of the hardest things in the world is when somebody says, oh, so what's your real job? Now, put it to you this way, the guy that works in the steel mill, yes, I'll say this. They may stand there and they may work on one machine, it may be hot and maybe sweaty, but until you're behind a bar or until you're on the floor in a packed place, running your ass off back and forth, trying to get drinks to people, trying to make sure everybody's attended to, and you're sweating, all you're doing is sweating some days and you're trying to maintain and try to be positive and try to be happy and just make everything right and just make it through the night. You never know what you get when it comes to the service industry. And you know, I look at my brothers and sisters out there that have been doing this for years. It does take a mental strain. Why? Because you're multitasking all the time, you're prepping, going down the line. I mean, there's so much that goes into it. And people think that, oh, what's your real job? You know what? I'm going to be real with everybody out there. If you have that mentality, eat a bag of dicks. Like, seriously. Because this is our job. Some people have a passion for it. Some people have been weathered for the storm. Because I guarantee you, sitting there in your chair, sipping on whatever fancy cocktail you're drinking, thinking you're better than us, trust me, we've seen more shit in our lives and dealt with more shit in our lives from shitty people like you, more than we can count. So always think about that. You're not better than us. Without us, you would not have that enjoyable time. You would not have that fancy cocktail. You would not have that plate of food in front of you that looks amazing that you're putting up on Instagram. You know, there's a reason why you come to that establishment, because we make it that way for you. So please, if you're listening to this, don't ever treat us like shit. Bartenders, I mean, I've done this 20 plus years now. I've broken up more fights in my life, sir, than I've ever had, would like to think of. I've had to worry about people when they come in. Are they on any kind of drugs? Is it mixed with alcohol? I always have to be aware of that stuff. And this is just the basic stuff of being a bartender. You may not realize that what all goes into that, but that is a huge factor. We're the ones looking out for you, so you're not harmed. So when you're out there drinking your Jager bombs and you're becoming an asshole and you want to curse out the bartender, just remember, we're looking out for your safety. You know, been there, done that too many times. Everybody wants to go out and have a good time. I know there's a page on Facebook, it's called The Angry Bartender. I'm not angry whatsoever. I'm just bringing to light what goes on out there. So instead of calling me an angry bartender, might as well just call me the real bartender. Because in this industry here, I have watched people go through so much stuff and put that fake smile on their face. Every single day. I've been through it myself. You just never know what somebody's going through. You know, so if you're a little pissed off, you didn't get a water refill or something like that, understandable, but please have a little bit of patience. Because not every server is intentionally trying to ignore you. On that note, you know, I'll try to put a little more positive spin on this. They say, like, artists are obscure and have different ways of thinking. But think about the person that's back there that cooked your food, that created that recipe, that created that cocktail. They're all artists in one way or another. And that's one thing that kind of gets looked over until it's labeled a craft place or, you know, whatever. Like, no, I don't care if you're back just throwing fries in the fryer. If you pull them out the perfect Christmas, put a little bit of salt in there or a special flavoring or something like that, you created that. You're an artist, in my opinion. You know, there's a reason why they call it a dish pit back there, because it feels like you're in the pits of hell some night. When you're back there sweating your ass off in that hot water, when the kitchen's already hot, so as it is, and they're trying to make sure every single dish is clean, you get out there, so that way you have a nice clean plate to eat your good food on, that was prepared by the cooks in the back that have sweated their butts off 10, 12 hours a day, that you don't even realize that came into the prep for your food, that comes out that window, that your server gets to. Now that server, they might have already worked an 8-hour shift. That might be their second job. They might have a kid at home that's sick. Anything could be going on in their life. But guess what? They take that food, they come out with a smile on their face every time and ask you, how is everything? So just keep in mind, everybody goes through stuff, but we hide our emotions just for you. To the bartenders out there, let me tell you guys are fucking heroes. We sit, we listen to people's problems sometimes, you know, so we take their people's minds off everything going on. I've sat and I've listened to people already that went through divorces, were about ready to commit suicide, having financial problems, just life problems in general. You know, some people think that we're not heroes. Guess what? We are. We listen to your problems. We have more empathy out there than most people would think. Because we're trying to make whatever's going on in your life go away just for a brief moment. So that way you can feel a sigh of relief. We take on your pain. We're probably some of the biggest empaths out there that the world has ever seen. And you don't even realize it. And every bartender is different. You might have the bartender who's a sports guru that loves to be behind the bar to talk about everything, anything sports. And all the customers that come in with it. You'll have the guy that He may not like it when it's slow, or gal, either or. Like I shouldn't say it in a gender way, but the bartender that goes back there and they enjoy when it gets hot and heavy. When you look out in the crowd and it's three deep, and all you want to do is smile. You can't focus on anything else, and you just run that night. Your body may be killing you by the end of the night. You may have already put 10 hours in the day. You know? So, anybody that sits in an office, you sat on your ass all day. Keep that in mind. So, give that old guy behind the bar a little respect. Give that young lady behind the bar a little respect. Stop always trying to get on her pants. You know, let her enjoy her job. Because, again, you never know what her day held in store or his day held in store. Don't be the cheap guy that, I don't tip that much. You know, here's the thing with all that. That's their living. A server's wage is pure shit. Pure shit. Your tips is what makes it. Because sometimes they get paychecks that are absolutely zero because of the tips they make. Remember this, you take a paycheck home that you could spend in the restaurant or bar that you just went to. Some of those guys and gals don't have that. You know? And then during pandemic times, seeing how some service people were treated because everything flew off the rails, I felt horrible. I felt absolutely horrible for my brothers and sisters out there in the service industry. You know, just keep that in mind. Again, I've seen so much stuff in this industry, from corner bars to all kinds of nightclubs to fine dining. And everyone has their different scenarios that you're dealing with. One time, I'll give you a little story. When we say that we got a lot of stuff to maintain, I had an older gentleman come into a bar one time that I worked at. He had one beer, he sat in his stool, and he just slowly passed out. And I said, what the fuck's happening here? What's going on? I go over, I check his pulse. He has very, very shallow breathing. I think this guy has just died on me or is going to a heart attack or something. I have no idea what's going on. And it's just me and him. I have to call the ambulance. Guess what? Figured out what happened is he donated blood early in the day and didn't eat anything. But that's just one of them. Thank goodness that's all it was. Because that could have been so much worse. In this industry, you make connections with people. And when I say make connections, 20 plus years, I've met thousands, and I mean thousands of people I've served. I've been to so many damn funerals because I've made great connections with customers because they were good people. And people don't realize how much of a toll that takes on you. Not by any means. And, you know, we always dedicate our memories and stuff like that because they were good people in life. And we tell their stories so it can be passed down. I have thousands and thousands of stories in my head of different customers. And sometimes the names get jumbled around because there's been so many. But it's just insane. Keep in mind, again, what these service people go through on a daily basis. I've had glasses thrown at me because somebody wasn't happy. I've had drinks thrown in my face. I've broken up so many, like I said before, so many fights where I put myself in danger just to make sure the safety of others was in place. And maybe it sounds like I'm hyped up and preaching right now, but guess what? I gotta preach to people about this because it needs to be known. It affects us all. There are so many people in this industry that have drug addictions, alcoholism. We are mentally beat down from serving you guys so much and sometimes getting very, very little in return. It's not that we expect anything, it's just what we do. So don't put us down whatsoever. Don't say, what's your real job, like I said before. Show a little bit of empathy and compassion towards them. Because every single day, they deserve it. They are the unsung heroes of this industry. You know, I've worked in places where owners would take tips and stuff from employees, and it's a very common fucking practice. Very common practice. And is it fair? No. It's not fair at all. because that server or that bartender had worked their ass off that damn night to try and make their tips to go home and pay their bills. But yet another has taken away their money. And it's a very common practice. And that's something that needs to be shed in light in this industry. Very much so. Any of you out there that have ever gone through this stuff, send something to the bartender's jukebox. I want to hear your stories of the bullshit you've dealt with in this industry. You know, I know it sounds like this is a negative thing, but right now I am sticking up for all my service industry workers. I really am. Y'all need it, that's for damn sure. I'll love and respect you, and you always, always, always will have an ear in me if you had a fucking bad night at work or some shit's going on. Get a hold of me. Tell me what's going on. Because this industry, if you ain't used to it, it'll break you. It'll break you down so hard. I've watched people quit after two hours, sometimes 2 days, because they couldn't handle the rush of people that came in. Because they didn't know how to interact with people. Something happened that they were worried. They didn't know how to handle a situation. And again, that bartender might have only been getting paid $2.50, $5 an hour, $7 an hour. All for you. Just remember that. Please, 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 be kind to our service workers. All right, so the beginning of the podcast, I was giving you some insight on what service industry guys, are, men and women, go through. And I hope you guys listen to that and like I said, have a different perspective next time you go out to eat or drink. You know, give those people the respect that they deserve, 100%. So I can tell you with this business here, I've done all kinds of stuff. I've been behind the bar and I blew fireballs and burnt my facial hair all to entertain people. I've set bars on fire just to give a show. I've stood on bars already and sang to people with my horrible ass voice, but it got them going and people would sing at the top of their lungs. You know, sometimes depending on the song I would play on the jukebox. And I will play a few of those songs later on. I do have one. I used to play at Last Call. I would jump up on the bar and everybody knew when that was that time. And I would sing it out loud. I know most places would play like closing time and stuff like that, but nah, when that time, by the end of the podcast, I'll play the song for you. It'll be my final outro song. But I've done so much stuff in this business. I mean, you know, my age of doing this, nowadays we have streaming services, internet, music, all that stuff. But when I first started off, internet was really just kicking off. All I had was infomercials late at night. I seen every single infomercial possible from things like the Slap Chop, Ginsu knives, the 90s mixed collection of love songs when you hear like Enya come on and stuff like that. I've woken up to that stuff, you know. I've fallen asleep to that stuff. One show I used to watch, and I was fortunate, it was at least have it at Nick at Night. So right at the end of my shift, Cheers would be on, so I'd be able to at least watch two episodes to help unwind. And that's one of the hardest things as a bartender or a service worker is to unwind at the end of the day. Sometimes we're running on nothing but coffee or energy drinks or anything like that. I mean, some of us, we've only slept maybe 3 or 4 hours, but we got to keep on that grind so that way you guys get the best service possible or the best entertainment possible to help you get through your day or just have an enjoyable moment. So, like I said, I mean, I've done so much stuff. Before COVID hit, right around when COVID hit, unfortunately, I actually had a gig I was going to do up in Manhattan at McFadden's for a celebrity bartending gig. Unfortunately, that fell through. I wish it wouldn't have. That definitely wouldn't have been a fucking killer experience, that's for damn sure. But who knows what the future holds. Maybe something like that might come around again. But yeah, there's so much. It's just taken me so many places. I've met so many interesting people, you know, famous and just the everyday person that's local. You know, like I said, it takes a special person to do this industry. And if you're that person, I'm telling you, the ride will be great. I know bartenders that they're travelers. They've traveled around the country and even the world just to get the different experiences. Because that's who they are. They're like the nomads of the world, just traveling around, you know, getting their experiences around and just seeing everything, meeting new people. I mean, those people right there, those are the ones, they know way more than I do because they have traveled around so much, from tourist locations to small towns, wherever it might be. I know bartenders that have gone out to Vegas and got into flair bartending, huge in competitions and stuff like that. There's bartenders I've even trained that they wanted to do it just for money during the summer. So they'd head towards Florida and stuff like that, or they go down to Ocean City, Maryland for the summer and do it. It's just a fun business to get into. But like I said, it does take a mental toll on you too at the same time. Now, it can be fun, it can be a blessing and a curse all at once. You know, until you've worked a Thanksgiving Eve here in the United States. Thanksgiving Eve here in the United States, it's a huge drinking holiday because everybody comes home from college. Everybody starts gathering with family and stuff like that. And let's be real. During those times too, everybody's going out and celebrating, but it also, in my opinion, starts off the kick of depression season because most people don't have their family members with them. So not only are you dealing with the masses of people that want to go out and have a good time, you also have the people that kind of have a lost grip on reality at the moment because of stuff that's going through. They don't have that family member there. And some people drown their sorrows like that. I told you the story about Andy and how he lost his wife on Christmas Eve before in my podcast. And I sat with him till 6 in the morning, Christmas Day. Just me and him so he can get it all out. Like I said, you will meet people. And me and Andy became lifelong friends for up until his passing. There was a guy that used to come into one bar I used to work at. Rocco was his name. He was a huge, huge Detroit Tigers fan. Absolutely loved the Tigers. He didn't care if they sucked or not. Every day he came in, he would get his Yingling lager, and we would sit and we'd talk about life, everything and anything. He would tell me about all the old stories. One of my favorite things as a bartender was talking to the older generation. I would love hearing the stories of the past of where I grew up. You know, I see what my community looks like today, and it is far, far, far from what it was when I grew up, or before me. You know, at one point in time, people used to get in their muscle cars or sports cars in the 70s and cruise up and down Penn Street where I live. And now you go up and down Penn Street, it's, well, if you know the area, you know the area. I'm not going to talk ill will. Let's just say it's not the same. Our community back years past, at one point in time, used to have a bar, sometimes two, on every single corner. And everybody had their choices and stuff like that of where they could go, and everybody has old stories of those places. And I used to love hearing the old stories. Love hearing the old stories. And they'd say, oh, well, that bar was, you know, on this street here. And I'm like, really? Right where that shop is now? They go, yeah, yeah. And then they'd start telling me stories about that. And, you know, it's a time gone by that I think the golden age of what the traditional bartender used to be is sadly long gone out the window. I mean, if you can find a nice small community that still has your corner bar, still has those dive bars, I mean, those are some of the key points, I think, as a bartender. You at least got to do it once. Like, if you're getting into the business, at least work a dive bar or a corner bar once. Get that experience. I mean, I think you'll get more, if you're really into, like, human interaction, you're going to get the everyday customer coming in that you build that bond with. And I've, like I said, I've done that in the past. I mean, there was customers that we became so close. And when I say so close, like, I'd see them every day talking to them. But I would know exactly which days they were coming in, what they were drinking. And sometimes it got to a point, too, if they pulled up on a motorcycle or even a loud car, I could actually hear it from outside. And I would have their drink ready and waiting for them. And that's an easier skill to do, especially when you're working in the corner bars and dive bars, because it's usually beers and shots. So as soon as you see them walk through the door, boom, you got it already set up for them because you already know what they drink, you know, and they appreciate that so much. It just builds a rapport. And like I said, you start having lifelong friends because of that. I mean, one guy, Johnny. He was, I think, 67 when he passed. I knew his health wasn't good, stuff like that, but I'd go over and I'd mow his lawn once a week just to help him out. And I'd see him. Him I would see once a week. I'd see him on a Saturday. But great guy, and made a lasting impression on me, and anything I could do for him, I would. And then there was another guy, Crazy Jay. I mean, God rest his soul. This guy, he was an old biker. And there's a reason why we called him Crazy Jay. I mean, on his top lip, he had fuck you. On his bottom, he had sit here tattooed. And one of his lines was, that's right. He was a character and a half, and if you didn't know him, you would have thought he was the biggest asshole in the world to people. He could sit down next to you, and if he didn't like you, or if you sat down next to him and he didn't like you, he would turn around, look at you, and say, I personally don't like you. Could you please move to the other end of the bar? That was just the kind of person he was. And it's weird, too, because he wouldn't come in the bar for long periods of time. He would come in for maybe two drinks and be there 15, 20 minutes and then leave. He knew his limits and stuff like that. And he would do anything for you. Man, taught me how to ride motorcycle. And Jay, if you're up there looking down on me, man, I fucking miss you, brother. 100%, man. You know, there's, like I said, there's so many people in this industry that you will meet, you will come to love. And there's some people that will irritate the fuck out of you. I had a guy one time, his name was Rick. And he was one of those people, you know, he'd always try to poke fun at people and put you down. So finally one day, like, there's only so much you can take. I looked at him flat out and I said, Rick, let's be real. You're kind of a dick, man. And that was after about 2 years of dealing with him. He got so mad at me, he threw two quarters in his beer and slammed his glass upside down so that way I had to clean up the mess. Like, but you get people like that. You know, I had one guy came in one time and he was a big meathead. I'm behind the bar and I used to hate, like, when, I mean, let me be real, I'm 5'8". I used to hate when big fucking meatheads would come in and think they could act like an asshole just because of my size. Unfortunately, I'm one of those people, if you open the door to be an asshole, I will fire right back to you. I got to the point, I said, look, I said, you came in here in a pissed off mood for whatever reason and you're standing here picking on me. I was like, look at you, big old bad man trying to pick on the little dude. Like, and I called him out on it. I flat out called him the fuck out on it. He got so mad that he couldn't even come back at me with anything, threw his iced tea in my face and said, you're a fucking asshole, and then walked out. You know what? If you're that guy, I don't want to see you back. Because you just disturbed everybody else. And then you get the customer sometimes that, oh, they put so much money in the fucking jukebox and their music's the best and everybody else's music sucks. And you know what? Don't be that fucking turd. Don't be that. Because everybody at that bar wants to listen to music, you know? If it's relaxing and stuff like that. That's the reason why there's a jukebox there. But don't go up and put $20 in and think yours is the best music. Because it's always not. I mean, and let me be real. Like, there's a lot of stuff in music nowadays I don't like whatsoever. But, you know, as the bartender or server or whatever, you drown it out. And we make our money. But it's that one asshole customer that'll piss off the other customers that we have to deal with. We have to deal with it. So, please don't be that asshole out there. Like I said, we deal with enough shit so as it is. And something as simple as that, it's just a song. Oh, man. You know, and then there's some places that service industry workers will work at where you could be the bartender, the cook, and the waitress at the same time. I've already been in that position. And you want to talk about, like, staying busy? It's insane. I remember one night I was working. I had about 40 people in the bar. And this is it was a bar that was kind of a hot dog joint here in Pennsylvania that was around since, like, the 1940s. And I remember one night some guy came in already a little tipsy. He wanted his food. He said, I want 50 hot dogs. Okay, no problem. Well, now I got to put them on. All right. So I put them on. I go back to serving the other customers, and he starts going, where are my hot dogs? Where are my hot dogs? Like, okay, I'm working on them now for you, sir. Please be patient. I'm sorry it's taken a little while. You did have a big order. That's no problem at all. Okay. 30 seconds later, he starts back up again. So after I put his hot dogs, started piecing together his hot dogs as I'm bartending and taking care of everybody else. He starts getting, oh, my hot dogs are going to get cold. So I stopped what I was doing. I threw the hot dogs that were already made in the bag and then threw them on the grill and looked at him and said, now they'll stay fucking warm. How about you sit there, shut the fuck up, drink your beer, and your dogs will be done in a minute. And when they're done, please don't come back till you're sober. And I made sure it was loud enough so everybody in the bar heard it just to make him feel like a dick. I think that's where I've been at this point with the service industry, in a sense, where I will make you personally feel like you're the best person in the world, because if you truly are, that's what I'm going to make you feel. But if you're a dick, I am going to fucking call you out on like nobody's business. And that is one thing a lot of service workers don't have the ability to do. And for me, for doing it for so long, I'm just at that point. I remember working in the club days. My biggest thing was, one of the fucking things I hated the most. Yo. If you are one of those people that at a bar and yelling yo at the bartender, fuck you. That's all I'm going to say. Like, that's a well-deserved fuck you. Because what I would do, I didn't care how busy it was. I didn't care if it was a jam-packed house. As soon as I heard the first person say yo, I would get out of my group. I would turn around, stare them in the face, walk down slowly, shake their hand and say, my name is Mark. If I hear yo come out of your mouth one more time, you will be the last person served in this place. So, my name is Mark, nice to meet you, and what can I get you? I figured I'd get to the point where I would just cut it off right away. You know, you're never always going to be able to please everybody in this industry, especially when I say it on the bartending aspect of things. And, you know, but if there's any new bartenders out there or anything like that, and you want advice on how to handle stuff, you know, please. There's the ability to send a voice message to the podcast, and I'm going to throw up the link when I post it up on Facebook and stuff like that. And if there's any industry workers out there, this is a shout out to you. If you have a cocktail, a recipe, or something like that you want people to know about, send me a voice message on the podcast. I will put up your recipe, your voice message, so that way you can get it out to the people. And if you want, you can even tell them where they can stop and either get that cocktail crafted by you, or you can give them the recipe yourself so that way they can make it at home. If there's any cooks or chefs or anybody out there listening to this podcast, well, it's not just for the bartenders or the front of house. This is also for you. If there is a recipe that you have been working on for so long that you are very proud of and you would like other people to try, you're more than welcome to, again, send a voice message to this podcast. If you want to give the recipe out, go for it. Or if you want to talk about a dish that you're currently working on and where they can get it, I would be more than happy to get that out there. Why? Because all you are the artists of the industry. You are the ones that make this industry go. So, and without you, we'd be eating the same bland food or drinking the same bland drinks over and over again. So I'm all about promoting businesses, and I'm all about promoting your business, what you are doing. Not per se, like, how can I put this? The business itself, because that is what it is. But I want to support the person behind it. I want to support that bartender. I want to support that chef or cook. So again, I will have that up in the voice message section there for you guys. I will put the link there. And I want to hear from y'all, because like I said, you keep the shit going. And that's what this podcast is about. It's for you guys 100% today. I love you guys. And keep on going, my brothers and sisters. Keep on going.
Bartender, I really did it this time. Broke my parole to have a good time. When I got home, it was 6 a.m. The door was locked, so I kicked it in. She was tripping on the bills. I think she was high on some pills. She threw my shit out into the yard. Then she called me a bum and slapped me real hard. And in my drunken stupor, I did what I should have never done. Now I'm sitting here talking to you, drunk and on the run. I'm sitting at a bar on the inside, waiting for my ride on the outside. She stole my heart in the trailer park, so I jacked the keys to her fucking car and crashed that piece. shit, then stepped away. You know, Mo, I'll probably get 10 years, so just give me beers till they get here. Yeah, I know the sun is coming up, and y'all are probably getting ready for closing up. But I'm trying to drown my soul. I'm tired of this life on a dirt road, and everything that I love is gone. And I'm tired of hanging on. She got me sitting at a bar on the inside, waiting for my ride on the outside. She stole my heart in the trailer park, so I jacked the keys to her fucking car and crashed that piece of shit, then stepped
Guess
away.
Guess it was meant to be. Romance is misery, so much for memories, and now I'm headed to the penitentiary. See me on TV, the next cop series. I am a danger. I guess I should've did something about my anger, but I never learned. Real things that don't concern, I pour kerosene on everything I love and watch it burn. I know it's my fault, but I wasn't happy it was over. She threw a fit, so I crashed that piece of shit.
And now
over.
I'm going back again, back to the pen to see my friends. And when we all pile out that county van, they're gonna ask me where I've been. I've been at a bar on the inside, waiting for my ride on the outside. She stole my heart in the trailer park, so I jacked the keys to her fucking car and crashed that piece of shit, then stepped away.
In the last 20 plus years of bartending, let me tell you something. I have watched the demographic of drinks and beers especially change. One thing that drives me fucking nuts nowadays, and this isn't the angry bartender, this is just the real bartender. I remember when Sam Adams was the only hoppy beer out there. And nowadays, you know, everything, IPA, do you have, like all kinds of stuff, like a New England IPA, West Coast, you know what? It's so fucking ridiculous. It is so fucking ridiculous. I remember when you were limited to options like Pabst, Budweiser, Miller Lite, Busch, all that bullshit. But now everybody's got to have a certain flavor. Everybody's got to have a certain taste. You know, it drives me nuts. I get it. It's just the day and age we live in. But man, I remember when Guinness was the black sheep of the beer family, you know? And now there's just so fucking many. It's insane. It's insane. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love beer culture and stuff like that. But if you're asking me about IPAs, I could really give a flying fuck about an IPA, to be honest with you. I love things that aren't IPAs. I love Bocks. I love Pilsners. I love Lagers. Stuff like that. I will talk all day about that stuff. But IPAs, I swear to God, in this, and maybe it's me, in this inclusive culture of things, and that's cool, like, again, it's just me being real from my perspective of things, and I understand it on the other side of things, too, like, people need something to talk about when they go out to the bar nowadays, you know, places I've worked in didn't have TVs, you know, and it forced people to talk, so I get that, like, it brings a culture around that talks and stuff about it, and to the ones that are into it, cool. But for me personally, I am burned out mentally and physically from running to get IPAs and talking about IPAs all damn day. I mean, I just remember when beers were smooth and didn't have that bitter IPA taste, and I absolutely loved it. You know, but that, you know, that teach their own. I know a lot of people like hot sauce and spicy stuff, but that's just not my cup of tea. And so that's just my point of view these days. You know, and now, like, cocktails and stuff like that. Cocktails is like an old tradition of things. And everything we look at nowadays, it's almost a variation of something else. Like, there's, I can't even say, like, there's a new inventive cocktail. It's all taken from something else and just twisted a little bit. Almost like professional wrestling, like people's characters and stuff like that. You know, if you look back on it, like, we'll take Hulk Hogan, for instance. Hulk Hogan had his persona and stuff like that, but he took a lot of his stuff from superstar Billy Graham. And that's the, you know, and that's basically how cocktails work nowadays. I mean, if you have something new and inventive, please, you know, send it to the podcast, because I'd love to hear it. I really haven't heard anything new and inventive yet. Everything is just a variation of something else. And, you know, I get it, but it's, I don't want to say it's a, we're in a dying, I can't say that, no, because I'd say in theory, like, I've seen different things come out of the years, you know, molecular gastronomy in certain drinks and stuff like that to make it look cool or whatever it might be. I mean, but they're still using the same flavor components and sense to taste like other things. I mean, it's not, you're just basically altering it. And if you want to know what I'm talking about with molecular gastronomy, there is, Viscosity is the name of the bar. They are out of Australia. If you look them up on TikTok, Instagram, or Facebook, you'll see what they do there. Now, Viscosity is basically viscosity. It's the density of different stuff. And that's how it works, you know. So they might put little pearls in that float in the middle of the drink or something like that. Throughout this industry, I've worked with things like flavor foam, flavor bubbles, you know, you put on top of a drink. You know, you're sprinkling cinnamon on top and flaming it up to give it another component. You're smoking drinks. Like, you know, that, but molecular gastronomy aside, I mean, it's fun to watch. But again, it's time consuming at the same time because you're working with little droppers and stuff like that. So if you're going to a place like that, don't expect to get the fastest service because they're literally trying to create something that is visually pleasing to you. And keep that in mind, too, when you go to a lot of craft places, like the high-end cocktail places, you know, the bartenders and servers, they go down to the point, the littlest detail, down to that garnish, be it rimming the glass, be it cutting that fruit or peel for whatever it is, just to make it look pretty. What are you going to do with that garnish? You're going to toss it to the side, but yet we're taking an extra minute and a half to cut that out to put it on your drink, just so that way you can have an Instagram photo. Keep that in mind, folks. So when you're getting frustrated and stuff like that, and you're in a higher-end place, and you're like, where's my cocktail? Just keep that in mind. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, it's today, with this podcast, it was going to be all about my service industry brothers and sisters, and I appreciate that so much. And the ones that are tuning in right now, and the ones that are tuning in, please, share the shit out of this, because I want all service industry workers to hear this, because I got you. Like, the world doesn't know the insides of it. I'm not trying to, like, say it's, like, backstage, like, wrestling or anything like that. But like I said previously in this podcast, people come in with certain expectations, but they don't know the level of stress and mental anguish sometimes we go through just to make that happen. I don't know how many times I've cut my hands on a knife just so I could have that lemon ready for that drink, put it out in the beer, whatever it might be. And even when your hand's cut or you've got little, like paper cuts in it, you feel lemon juice or lime juice all fucking night. Oh, you want salt on your room? Oh, it's like salt in the water. But yet, we're dealing with it every single night. And that's just those little irritating things that you don't know. It's crazy. Crazy. I mean, there's been times I've already gone in and worked certain clubs I've worked at, and I have already sliced up about 20 pounds of lemons just to make it through a night because people drank Corona and stuff like that. Everybody need a fruit in their beer. That's another thing, man. If you need fruit in your beer, fuck off. Like, oh, it makes it taste better. Well, why didn't your beer taste that good to begin with? It drives me nuts. Real bartender, not angry bartender. Oh, God. But yeah, like I said, like every little detail that we do, even in the most common places, It could be just from slicing the lemons and limes, just so you can have that little piece of fruit for your drink. And then other places you work at, you might be, you know, stuffing olives with blue cheese because somebody wants blue cheese olives with their martini, or high-end cherries, or whatever it might be, or pearl, you know, like pearl, little pearl onions for the bar. All of it. Like, there's prep that goes into that ahead of time that you don't even see. And that's before we even get into it. So, for everybody out there that puts in the hard work of prep, from front of house to back of house, y'all keep it going. Straight up. You all keep it going. And no matter, like, no matter what goes on, even when there's owners that don't get their hands dirty or anything like that, you know, they just have a vision of a business and they throw it on you. You are the ones that are creating stuff. You are the ones that are getting your hands dirty. Somebody else may have the vision, but you are the artist that put it into play. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. So when it comes down to it, my service workers, you all fucking heroes. I love you. Dun, dun, dun. Commercial time. I just want to give a shout out to the Deluxe Podcast Edition. You guys all rock. If you haven't gotten the chance to listen to them, definitely check them out. And my boys over at the Three Beards of Wrestling Podcast. If you're into indie wrestling, pro wrestling, and you like to hear different interviews and talk about it, definitely check those guys out. And also another business I want to give a shout out to, Nelly's Artistic Creation. If you're looking for any pieces and stuff like that, or you just want to check out what she's doing, you can look up Nelly's Artistic Creation on all social media platforms. And, you know, give her some like, give her some love. And same with the Three Beards of Wrestling Podcast and the Deluxe Edition Podcast. So, now that the commercial's over, dun, 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 back to shit. All right, I'm going to play a song right now that was one of my favorites to play when I knew the demographic of people. Similar to my age, a little bit older, maybe a little bit younger. But every time I played this song, in just a few short lines, people would sing at the top of their lungs with this. And it was great when you have about 40 people in a bar and you just play this song and everybody stops what they're doing and sings along. And I hope if you're in your car right now, riding around, whatever you're doing, I hope you're doing the same thing. So here it is. Enjoy, guys.
Have you ever met a girl that you tried to date, but a year to make love, she wanted you to wait? Let me tell you a story of my situation. I was talking to this girl from the U.S. nation. The way that I met her was on tour at a concert. She had long hair and a short miniskirt. I just got on stage dripping, pouring with sweat. I was walking through the crowd, and guess who I met? I whispered in her ear, come to the picture booth so I can ask you some questions to see if you're 100 proof. I asked her name, she said blah blah blah. She had 9-10 pants and a very big bra. I took a couple of flicks and she was enthused. I said, how do you like the show? She said I was very amused. I started throwing bass, she started throwing back mid-range. But when I sprung the question, she acted kind of strange. Then when I asked, do you have a man? She tried to pretend. She said, no I don't, I only have a friend. Come on, I'm not even going for it. It's what I'm going to say. You got what I need. But you say he just a friend. And you say he just a friend. Oh, baby, you got what I need. But you say he just a friend. But you say he just a friend. Oh, baby, you got what I need. But you say he just a friend. But you say he's just a friend.
So I took Blah Blah's word for it. This time I thought just having a friend couldn't be no crime. Cause I have friends and that's a fact, like Agnes, Agatha, Jermaine, and Jack. Forget about that, let's go into the story about a girl named blah 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 that adore me. So we started talking, getting familiar, spending a lot of time so we can build a relationship or some understanding how it's gonna be in the future we was planning. Everything sounded so dandy and sweet. I had no idea I was in for a treat. After this was established, everything was cool. The tour was over and she went back to school. I called every day to see how she was doing. Every time that I called her, it seemed something was brewing. I called a rumor, got picked up, and then I called again. I said, yo, who is that? Oh, he's just a friend. Don't give me that. Don't even give me that. You bust this. You to her college on a surprise visit to see my girl that was so exquisite. It was a school day, I know she was there, the first semester of the school year. I went to a gate to ask where was a dorm. This guy made me fill out a visitor's form. He told me where it was, and I was on my way to see my baby doll, I was happy to say. I arrived in front of the dormitory. Yo, could you tell me where is door 3? They showed me where it was for the moment. I didn't know I was in for such an event, so I came to a room and opened the door. Oh, snap! Guess what I saw? I felt a tongue kissing my girl in the mouth. I was so in shock, my heart went down south. So please listen to the message that I sent. Don't ever talk to a girl who says she just has a friend. Has a friend. Has a friend. Has a friend. Has a friend.
All right, my friends, this will be the final segment for this podcast. And again, thank you for listening. Like I said, this one was for the service industry workers out there. And I hope my stories and maybe even my venting or viewpoints may have helped, or you may have said, you know what, I feel you there, I feel you, you know, or you're vibing on this podcast or whatever. But I just want to, like I said, I want you all to know you're all the heroes out there and the artists of this business. And you may not be the owner, but you're the ones that fucking make it move. And that's the biggest key right there. I mean, there are millions upon millions of us out there. And nobody talks about that, you know, the mental breakdowns that we all have and stuff like that. And I'm not going to turn this into, you know, a depressing podcast today. All I'm going to say is we all go through some shit in this industry. All of us. Like I said, there's been guys and gals have been doing this forever. You know, there's been times at night I'd get done bartending and I would go to a diner because it was open 24 hours a day. And I would see the third shift waitress who was in her 60s or 70s that still did it. Did like to serve, you know, because she liked the social interaction of people. And that's one thing for me. And I think, well, for me, the roughest part of the last 2 months is social interaction in general. Because I spent the last 20 plus years in a social environment in one way or another. I will say back when COVID hit, man, that was brutal on me. It took me a little while to get back into the swing of things. But it's totally understandable. Like, we are the misfits out there, that are staying up late, that are drinking the energy drinks, that are wearing ourselves down. Everybody, like, almost anybody that's been in this industry has had a fucked up sleep schedule in one way or another. Some places close at 10 o'clock, which, if you get a place like that, that's fortunate. But then, if you know bartending and stuff like that, here in Pennsylvania, we go till at least, you know, 2 in the morning. That was our closing time. And then, yeah, figure you had to get everybody out by 2:30. And by the time you get out, it'd be 3:30, 4 o'clock sometimes, by the time you're all said and done. So not only did you prep for the day, you worked your ass off for the day making money, then you have to break down and clean for the day when you're extremely wore out already. So there's reasons why that those energy drinks are needed. Sometimes there's reasons why those people are drinking that alcohol or doing those drugs. Is it good for them? No. But it helps them cope. And sadly, it's something that needs to be brought to light in this industry. You know, all that stuff that does happen because of that stress. And I think it's almost going on for so long that it's just been a given that it's expected of us all, to just be able to push through it and do it. But like I said, guys and gals, I know it's fucking rough some days. Some days you don't want to get up out of bed. You don't want to deal with the customers. You don't want to do nothing. I get that wholeheartedly, and I feel your pain, you know. And that's just the mental shit you go through. Like, imagine being on your feet 10 hours a day. You're running back and forth. Not only do your feet hurt, your knees hurt, your back hurt, and your hips hurt all the way up. I mean, it's brutal over time. I mean, I know, some people that have stayed in the industry briefly because it just takes a toll on your body, and there's people that have stuck it out lifelong. And as of right now in my life, I think I'm just to the point now where I'm speaking out about everything about the industry in a good way or bad way, and I appreciate people listening to it. I mean, because like I said, I want your voices to be heard too. So, you know, if you got a story or something, like, from a fucked up customer or just a funny story or whatever it is, you can send me a message on the podcast, and I'll keep it anonymous, but You know, I want that story to be told. Like, let's give a viewpoint of like what we go through. Let's let people know, you know, like, don't walk on us. I mean, give us a little bit of respect, at least a little bit. I mean, we go into it knowing that we're not going to get it because we are the servants. We are the servants, you know, and that's the beast we're already, how can I put, conditioned for. So, but anybody that's not in the service industry and listening to this podcast, I hope it gives you a little bit of insight as to what we go through. And I hope it gives you a chance to maybe see things from a different perspective. And that's all I can ask. This business has been good to me. And in some aspects, it's been very bad to me. And it will take a mental toll on you. And I'm perfectly open and fine with saying that. We are a different breed of creature in this. And yeah, my brothers and sisters out there in the business and all the customers that have listened to this too, I hope it gives you a little bit of better insight of the ones that know me personally. But you, like I said, if you have any recipes, you know, you're a chef, you're a bartender, whatever, send it to me. Let me know. I will put it on here so that way maybe I can give you a little bit more business or help boost your creativity. You are the artists of this industry, and without yous, it wouldn't be what it would be. I mean, it's a long, long history. And some places you work at, it takes up to a year. If you want, like, go into a true traditional style of bartending, it'll take you up to at least a year into getting into it. From breaking down to craft cocktails, getting your exact measurements right, down to the littlest thing. And I think bartending is similar to baking. If you don't do the proper techniques or you don't have your recipe down to the littlest ingredient, it can throw off all your flavor components and stuff like that. So that's if you're going on the higher end of things. And on the lower end of things, sometimes it's just the energy you have to keep that crowd going. Or just to listen to, you know, who's ever sitting in front of you having that bad day. There's so much that goes into this business. And I have so much respect for y'all. So if you ever need anything out there, just let me know. If you're having trouble figuring something out with a cocktail or even a recipe, and I can lend my knowledge to you, I would be more than happy. And vice versa. You know, that we are a community out there, and hey, all we got is each other some days, and that's all I got to say about that. You know, that's all we got is each other. So I'm going to leave you guys with this song. Now, keep in mind, this is a song that I used to stand on top of the bar and sing for last call at the top of my lungs. Why? Because why the fuck not? You know, everybody had a good time and everybody had fun, and being worn out at the end of the day and feeling like you might almost even fall off the bar because you're so worn out because you ran your ass off. But this isn't closing time. No, no, no. This is the Dropkick Murphys. Kiss me, I'm shit-faced. Like I always say, my friends, stay thirsty for music, stay thirsty for life, stay thirsty for new experiences. This is your bartender signing out for the day. Cheers.
Chelsea and friends. I play one mean guitar and then score at the bar. There's a line of chicks waiting for their chance. So come on now, honey, I'll make you feel pretty. These other gals mean nothing to me. Let's finish these drinks and be gone for the night, 'cause I'm more than a handful, you'll see. Yeah. degrees from both Harvard and Yale. Girls just can't keep up. I'm a real machine. I've had far better sex while in jail. I design the Sears Tower. I make $2,000 an hour. I cook the world's best duck flambé. I'll take the pick of the litter. Girls jockey for me. Gal, then I'll escort her home. Come last call, I'm never alone. I have a house on the hill with a red water bed that puts you Hefner's mansion to shame. With girls by the pool and Italian sports cars, I'm just here in this dump for the game. So kiss me. Pitiful sight, and I ain't all that bright. I'm definitely not chiseled from stone. I'm a cheat and a liar, no woman's desire. I'll probably die cold and alone. But just give me a chance, 'cause deep down inside, I swear I got a big heart of gold. I'm a monogamous man, no more one night stands. Come on, honey, let me take you home. So kiss me.